أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا محافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا معينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
In our discussion regarding spirituality, we arrived at the topic of the instructions that our glorious religion, Islam, gives us about our relationship after marriage. It's a very important topic, I believe, that is discussed not very often, and it should be discussed more often, but for many different reasons that you will see in the way that I will have to speak in this session, many people will try to avoid this discussion. Before getting into the instructions themselves, we can understand what Islam instructs us to, I would like to go over a couple of concepts that we need to understand. The first concept we've said before, but I'd like to emphasize this, because we're going to be talking about the role of men in the house, we're going to be talking about women, we're going to be discussing some of what needs to be done to have a healthy family. The Islamic instruction, by the way, it is completely related to the concept of spirituality in Islam. Without this, we can kiss spirituality by. It will not happen. One concept that we need to mention here is, according to the Islamic perspective, okay, let's see how much of this discussion we can finish today. According to Islamic sources, neither men are created to serve women, nor are women created to serve men. We don't have such a concept in Islam. Men and women are human beings, both they are created, both of their destiny, their guideline is worship of Allah, servitude of Allah, and neither is put on earth to serve the other. They are pairs, the same species, the same type of being, they are pairs. Each of them is incomplete according to the Holy Quran, and when you put it alongside the other pair, it becomes one complete unit. The verse for that is in Surah Rum, I believe it's verse 21. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا. It's not referring to men. Some people misinterpret this verse. It's not telling men that we created from you a spouse for you. That's a complete misinterpretation. It's talking about pairs. Okay. The human being is made such that they're a pair of human beings. A man and a woman, not two men either, by the way. A man and a woman together become complete. And that's why afterwards it says, لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا. When it's incomplete, it is not going to feel in place, it will not feel the tranquility, when it comes together with its pair, that's when it reaches the tranquility. So, if you have gotten the impression anywhere in anyone's explanations or interpretations of Islam that women are created for men or anything like that, whether it's from the Sunnis or from the Shias or whatever, that is not accurate, that is not what Islam says. First point. The second point is, about what we are going to say, there are certain things that are considered hukm in Islam, and there are certain things that are not considered hukm, they are haqq. What is hukm and what is haqq? Hukm is a ruling, something that Allah has mandated. He has made it wajib or haram. This is an obligation that Allah has put on you. Because of Him, you're supposed to do it. Not towards anybody else. Even in cases where, for example, we're not talking about Islamic government here, but the Islamic government, whether at the time of the Imam or afterwards, based on the concept of Wulayat al-Faqih, where it's supposed to, one is supposed to listen and obey the commands of another individual, like the Imam if you were here. The reason why that's happening is because Allah has made that wajib. Following the Imam is following Allah. These are the verses of the Holy Quran. When Allah makes it obligatory for you to listen to Him, you're not put there to serve Him. You are serving Allah by listening to this person because Allah said you need to listen to Him. This is a hukm, an obligation. You like it, you don't like it, you have to do it. That's an obligation from Allah. We have something else that is called haqq, which is a right. Sometimes the Divine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gives us rights. These rights, okay, there's a difference between them and an obligation. When you have an obligation to pray, you have to pray. But when you have a right, that doesn't mean you have to do it. You just have the right that if you would wish to practice that right, you can practice that right. There's a difference between the two. Now, which one of these two is important? More important, not that one of them is not important at all. Obviously, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given somebody a right, that's important to know that there's a right there. But which one is the important one? It is the responsibility that is important. Because the responsibility is obviously, as the word says it, is what you're going to be held responsible for. If you didn't practice your right, they're not going to ask you, why didn't you practice your right? But if you don't fulfill your responsibility, you're going to be asked, why didn't you fulfill your responsibility? When it comes to these discussions of, especially when it comes to family issues, but for all issues, I think, people like to know what their rights are. This is a Western thing. What are my rights? This is my right, I like to practice it. It's okay to know your rights, and obviously if it's your right, then you get to practice that right. But the emphasis should be on the responsibility. Why are we looking for our responsibilities? What's my response? Am I doing my responsibilities? Well, the divine responsibility is because we don't see the effect of in this world we're sitting back and relaxing and comfortable. On the day of judgment, you'll see it all. That's the important one. First, know what your responsibilities are. Make sure you're fulfilling them. Don't make sure that you're practicing your right. You don't need to do that. That's the first point before getting into the topics. Now, we say salawat, please.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In talking about the relationship between husband and wife, I would like to divide that up into two categories of discussions. And forgive me if this sounds like a class, because on this topic, I would feel more comfortable to present it in this way. One category of rights and responsibilities are what deals with the general activities of life. We're living together, obviously, in the house. There are things to do in the house. There's things to do with personally that I would like to do. There's things that my spouse would want to do. There's things that are responsibilities of the house, the household, taking care of that. These are how we interact when we're speaking, things like that. This is one category of activities. Another category of activities is the intimate relationship between the spouses. First, I'd like to address the first one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Rum verse 21, I just read the beginning part of it, I didn't read the rest of it, says the following, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنْفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. This is a general guideline in the way we treat one another. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've created men and women, their pairs, amongst them, I have put mawadda and rahma. This is divine. Mawadda is not just love. You have the word hub in the Arabic language that means love. Allah doesn't say in this verse that I have put hub between them. He says that I have put mawadda, apparent love, love that is expressed. That's what I have put between them. And the next thing is rahman, mercy. This is the general guideline in the family, brothers and sisters. The expression of love is important. The expression of love, showing that I love my spouse, both sides, the brothers and the sisters, it's important. And also rahmah, being nice to one another. Shaitan doesn't want that, obviously. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I've put that there, the potential is there. At the beginning, it's always there, it's very easy. When you first get married, sweetheart, everything is nice and pleasant. But then a little while, then you start seeing the differences of opinion. First, it's okay, whatever she says, whatever he says. And after a while, gradually, arguments and discussions, and shaitan likes that. Allah says, keep this up, pay attention. You can very easily skip this and not do it correctly. Very easily. This is one general principle. We have a shortage of time, so I'm skipping some things. The other general principle that we have is general akhlaq that we need to keep in the house. The general akhlaq of Islam that we have. For some reason, when it comes to others, we're kind, we're nice, we like to do things for them, we go out of our way for them, we don't want to upset them, but in the house it's not like that. We get used to it, it's routine. Okay, don't let that happen to you. You need to remind yourself. I remember just something that some of the teachers would say. Hajjaj Tehrani used to say that when you go out of the house, this is for men, because it's much, much more easy for men to forget this. Of course, that's maybe in the Eastern countries where the women don't work outside. Maybe if they work outside too, I haven't had that experience, so I don't know. Anyway, he would say that every time you come back home, make sure you have something for the family. A little something, doesn't have to be too big, a little, some sort of, I don't know, something they like. And if you can't get anything, you forgot, or you didn't have the money, or there wasn't any time, at least when you enter the house, nice big smile, okay, not all tired from work, and everything is on your mind, just go in, no salam, no harik, no nothing, just go to flip on the TV and start watching TV, or go change your clothes and just lay down, wake up 3 hours later, where's the food? That's not what Islam says. The advice is this: remember, you need to have that mawaddah and rahmah. Another thing that we find from the general akhlaq, I only mentioned one thing. It's very important. This is important in our personal lives, in our family lives, with friends and everywhere. We have this concept of it being wrong to look for the flaws of others. This is a general trait of a mu'min. You don't look for the flaws of others. Instead, they look for the flaws within. They try to see what their flaw is. One of the worst things one can do, according to hadith, is that thinking about other people's flaws occupies them from realizing their own flaws. In marital life, this can happen very easily. Both sides in any argument think that they're right and their spouse is the one that's making the mistake and they're wrong. We can very easily identify every single flaw of our spouse, but we can't see it in ourselves. It should be the opposite, brothers and sisters. It should be the opposite. Maybe they've made a mistake. Inshallah, God forgive me. Let me see what I did. Did I do what was right? Maybe she was right. Maybe he was right. Think about it in that way. Think about where you made a mistake. Maybe at the beginning I was right, but the way I spoke, that made things different. Try to identify that. This is general practice. Another thing, that now getting into the family itself, I would like to read some hadith. There's a lot of hadith in this regard. I've just picked a few. We won't get time to read all of them. Let's see how much time we will have to read these. I will start with the men. Okay, so the sisters won't say, oh, why are you always talking about women and what they have to do? This is the akhlaq for the men. Okay, the responsibilities, the wajib and haram in a marital life, okay, for men and women, I think it's pretty clear, or last time I explained it very briefly. The man, it's wajib for him to provide. Okay, and obviously anyone else cannot oppress. Dhulm is haram, cannot do that. Any type of oppression is wrong. We have to provide for the family. That's our responsibility. The responsibility of women is only three. They have to be available, number one, which we're going to be talking about that a little bit. Then the other one is about pregnancy and having children. And the third one is about leaving the house not with asking permission. You don't need to ask every time. The husband should be okay with it. If you know the husband's okay with it, that's fine. You don't need to ask every time you want to leave the house. But these three responsibilities are there. We want to talk about the akhlaq, the extras that with that, knowing that the instructions of Islam, plus the ahkam, the wajibat, the responsibilities that we just mentioned, together, they want to be making sense. Now the brothers, there's a hadith from Imam al-Sadiq sallallahu alayhi, he says, إِذَا أَرَادَ الرَّجُلُ أَن يَتَزَوَّجَ الْمَرْأَةَ فَلْيَقُلْ أَقْرَرْتُ بِالْمِيثَاقِ الَّذِي أَخَذَ اللَّهُ إمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان. Says if a man wants to marry a woman, he should say that I am testifying and making this pledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken. I accept this pledge that God has mandated upon me. That إمساك بمعروف أو تسريح بإحسان. If I want to live with this sister, with this woman, my wife, it's going to be bil ma'aruf. If I don't want to do it in that way, tasrihun bi ihsan, I leave her. I'm not going to keep her as oppression. It's very important that we treat the wife and the kids in the right way. Spiritual thing. If you go to any of the spiritual teachers, one of the most negative things you could do in the house is mistreat the family. Say that just throws you down. If you're talking about the higher levels, where the dhikr has an effect, it won't have any effect. You shout where you're not supposed to, that's it. You gotta work for another 2 weeks to get rid of the problem that you just created for yourself. When we look at the treatment, I have to mention this. The way the impression that sometimes is given to us about the way Islam treats husband and wife is not the right impression, especially since a lot of culture gets involved in it. And obviously when men have more physical power and they talk more, they explain it in a way that it seems like Islam is favoring men in this. I completely disagree with that. When we look at the conduct of the scholars, for example, that are implementing Islam with much more knowledge than the general public does, we see that, for example, Imam Khomeini, this is quoted from Imam Khomeini and from Shahid Mutahhir, the respect that they had for their wives was a whole lot. To the extent, just one example of it, they would not eat until the wife was present on the tablecloth or the table where they wanted to eat. Okay. Not that she's doing this or that, as soon as the food is there, just start picking out and eating. No. Everyone stop, the children, you have to respect your mother as well. Wait until she comes. Okay. When Shahid Mutahhir, this is a quotation, when Shahid Mutahhir's wife was traveling, when she would come back, Shahid Mutahhir would go to the door, greet her, bring her in, flowers, everything, you know. Respect, being nice to the wife. This is the way Islam tells us to treat the wife. Another hadith from the Holy Prophet ﷺ. This one, I read it yesterday, but I used the latter part of it. The Holy Prophet says, أَوْصَانِي جَبْرَئِيلِ, according to this hadith, he says, أَوْصَانِي جَبْرَئِيلِ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ بِالْمَرْأَةِ حَتَّى ظَنَنْتُ أَنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي طَلَاقُهَا إِلَّا مِنْ فَاحِشَةٍ مُبَيَّنَةٍ. Jibra'il advised me about women and the wives to the extent that I thought you cannot divorce a woman unless she's committed adultery. That's when you can divorce them. In other words, even if you're having hell in the house, okay, no, you don't break that bond. You need to actually do more and try to get that together, keep it from falling apart. You need to take extra steps. Even when they're making mistakes, even if the mistake is from them, truly from them, not our perception, last hadith for the men, there's a hadith from Imam As-Sadiq sallallahu alayhi that he quotes from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْمَرْأَةِ مَثَلُ الظِّلْعِ الْمُعَوَّجِ إِن تَرَكْتَهُ إِن تَفَعْتَ بِهِ وَإِن أَقَمْتَهُ كَسَرْتَ. Listen to this, brothers. Before explaining the example that is mentioned here and the interpretation of it, I would need to say that examples in Arabic, just like any other language, you need to understand them in the context and what is meant by that example. Okay. In an example, you're not saying that one of these people or the person that you're describing is that person. Let me mention in a Quranic example that it can't be like that. One of the verses of the Holy Quran talks about the Prophet addressing the people. Bani Israel. Obviously, they weren't listening as much as the Prophet spoke to them. They weren't taking the Prophet's word. Okay. The verse was revealed, says, you speaking to them, or them listening, it starts like this, them listening to guidance is like a shepherd shouting and whistling for sheep, and the sheep don't understand. Sorry, the shepherd is telling the sheep, don't do this, and the sheep... the only thing they understand of that is mumble. They don't understand what he's talking about. They just hear a shout. They don't comprehend it. Okay. Now the Prophet is described here, if we want to take it in that context, is described as a shepherd that's shouting, that's hollering. There's a prophet, a shepherd that's dealing with sheep that's hollering. That's not what that example is trying to say. This example, the Holy Prophet is saying, this is, I'll mention the example and then the interpretation of it. He says, إِنَّمَا مَثَلُ الْمَرْأَةِ مَثَلُ الدِّرْءِ الْمُعَوَّجِ. The example of a woman is like the bent ribs. You know, our ribs are bent. Okay, they're not straight. They're bent. They're curved. Better word. It says, if you leave it, if you leave her the way she is, or the, actually it's talking about that rib, if you leave it the way it is, okay, you'll benefit from it. If you try to straighten it, what's going to happen? You're going to break it. You can't benefit from it. It's useful the way it is. It's beneficial the way it is. Okay. Now, some people, I think I've heard this hadith, they say, oh, women are bent, curved, they're not straight, they're not right, they're not good, and the likes of that. That's not what this hadith is trying to say. What this hadith is trying to emphasize on is this, and it happens a lot. Obviously, no two people are going to be exactly the way they would want to be, the other side, I mean. Like, no matter who you get married, whether it's a female, a sister that wants to get married to a brother, or vice versa, they are not going to be at every moment in their life the way you would want them to be. That's a fact. Sometimes they act differently. You're not okay with that. Both sides. For women, it's the same way. The husband is sometimes nice. Sometimes he's very... I don't even want to be around him because he's so angry and not nice, not pleasant to be in his presence. Sometimes, no, it's very comforting and it's very pleasant to be in the presence of the husband. Both ways, it works like that. Now, the emphasis, this hadith is told to men, not to women. Doesn't mean that the women don't have the same problem with men, okay? What it means is this, look, men tend to pressure and press women for what they want. Okay? You want something, you have the power, you're stronger, you think you have more rights, you want to take that and press them so you get what you want from them. The hadith says, don't do that. You're not going to get it. It's going to break. This is what exactly happens in the marriages in the West. A lot of marriages fall apart. Much of it is because not listening to this. Look, leave it. If it's something you don't like, you say it once or twice, leave it. Gradually, if we work the way Islam puts it, brothers and sisters, Islam advises us to try to please our partner. Okay? Try to please our partner. If I want something, I say it a couple of times, it doesn't work, leave it. That's what the hadith is telling the men. Don't emphasize on it too much. Don't push for it too much. Actually, if you leave it, you will benefit. Experience this yourself. Try it out. Experiment it for those that are married. And brothers and sisters, it's important that you know this and the rest of it, which our time is already up almost. I'll have to leave that the rest of it for tomorrow night. But try this hadith. Don't press. The sisters the same way. Okay, this applies to them when we start talking about the akhlaqiyat there, the instructions that we have. We'll say the same thing there as well. Don't press on it too much. If you leave it, once they know what you want, if you're not putting pressure on them, because of their love for you, they would actually want to do that. Maybe for a while they won't, but then later on they will. I've experienced that. And I think maybe you would have to ask my wife, obviously. I think she's experienced the same with me, because she does that, alhamdulillah. But you experience it yourself. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this night that He guides us with his instructions and gives us the ability to practice them. Please allow the Rahmeen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be of his close companions. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prolong the life of him, give long good health to all our maraja and especially our leader. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive our parents, all those who've taught us a word in Islam, their sins. Bin Nabiya wa alihi rahimallahu man qara'a al-fatihata al-salawat.